It's Mac Talk Live. What's going on, everybody? Tony Colombo. What's going on, buddy?
Hey, what's happening? What's happening, buddy?
As we figure everything out, you notice we are doing a lot of easy things. Like now we're doing theme songs. This week it's CM Punk's Culture Personality. I gotta be honest, before we get into this week's tens, I don't know if I could ever put this as one of my favorite wrestling theme songs because I loved it as a regular song first.
One of the most underrated rock bands of all time, and because of what a great regular song is, I think I could put it on my list of greatest rock songs ever. So that'll be a discussion for another day.
All right.
Interesting.
Well, welcome, as I said, to Smack Talk Live. And a big announcement, I guess, for the Smack Talk Livers, which depending on where this podcast falls, it may not even be a big announcement. But I feel excited about talking to it. Tony, do you want to tell the people about our new homish?
Yeah, absolutely. So those of you who are not familiar with what Dennis and I do in our regular lives, both of us have a lot of radio experience, and I work for a radio station in St. Louis, FM News Talk 97.1, and our website at my radio station is the new home of Smack Talk Live, and you can hear all of our podcasts, our lists, our Raw and SmackDown reviews, our pay-per-view reviews, everything that we're talking about. You can find the home now of Smack Talk Live at 971talk.com/Colombo. And that's 971talk.com/Colombo. Of course, we'll be putting that on our Twitters, and you know we'll be linking that to everything that you already follow us on, so it won't be hard to find. But that is the new home of the podcast and a place that you can go and find everything about everything that we're doing. So awesome stuff, and it's just really cool to be tying this in with the radio station here in St. Louis.
Well, without further ado, I believe that we have a list this week, the tens, as we call them, Tony Colombo. What are we doing this week?
This week we are doing our favorite submissions, our favorite wrestling submissions, and since I went first last time, I think that it's only fair that you go first this time.
That's more than fair. All right, as my number 10, I'm thinking out of the box. I absolutely love the tap out by Paige as a submission hold. If you've not seen it, it's hard to explain. Go find it on YouTube. But Paige's tap out submission is my number 10, Tony.
God, good one. You stole my thunder out of the box early. I have what I thought was going to be a surprise coming in just a few minutes. But that's a great one. Paige is the PTO. That's very good. My number 10, I started with a classic. One of the most classic wrestling holds of all time. And one made famous by several people, but none more than Roddy Piper. And that is the classic sleeper hold. The old classic, just a classic, one arm around the forehead, one arm under the chin. It knocked out very, very few people that mattered, at least. It knocked out many jobbers, and it was the spark of many comebacks of great baby faces. But I love the sleeper hold, and I love Roddy Piper, so that's my number 10.
I'm not even tell you where, but it is on my list. My number 9.
All right, I like it.
My number 9 is the Lion Tamer, not to be confused with the Boston Crab or whatever Chris Jericho does now, but I love the old, more inverted Boston Crab that he did where it was the knee into the back and the legs pulled up more. To me, that I could have even put it higher, but I put it number 9 on my list.
Absolutely. I completely agree with that, and there is a massive difference between the Lion Tamer and the Boston Crab.
Yes.
It's not the same move, and the classic Lion Tamer is a great one. My number 9 is not the PTO, but it is the bank statement.
Ooh.
Sasha Banks' bank statement, particularly the way she puts it on some of these more flexible women like Charlotte, it just looks like she's absolutely folding them in a 90-degree angle. It's so impressive looking, and it has a lot to do with the person taking it, but sometimes the bank statement just looks absolutely devastating, and so I thought I was going to be the first one to put a female submission move on there and let you in, but you beat me to it. But my number 9 is the bank statement.
My number 8, and as we all become a little more comfortable in talking about him and whatever his past situation was, but Chris Benoit's the Crippler Crossface. Devastating. One of those other moves where you had to have the other person help sell it, but that there was nothing more devastating than the Crippler Crossface.
I love it. Good one. Very good one. My number 8 is the Cobra Clutch / $1 Million Dream. It's the same hold, but it's the same hold. It's a very unique take on a sleeper. It was made famous by Sergeant Slaughter and, of course, the $1 Million Man. The $1 Million Dream is my number 8.
I like it. My number 9.
You laughed.
I did because, once again, it's on my list. We don't talk, by the way, about our list beforehand.
No, we do not.
My number 7, AJ Lee's Black Widow. Holy cow, when she has that thing locked in, it is a phenomenal, it's a phenomenal submission hold. It looks painful, and, you know, for a female, that is one of my favorite female submission holds.
Amazing about it too is that she's smaller than almost every competitor, but she can seemingly lock that on people that are twice as big as she is and somehow hold their whole entire body weight off the ground and twist them in that move. It's an impressive one. Very good. My number 7 is the Kimura. Brock Lesnar's Kimura. I like when Brock just used to threaten to break people's arms. Brock Lesnar to me will always be a heel. I don't understand when people think that he's a face. He doesn't do anything to be a face except, I guess, just be a badass. He is a mean, destructive force, and when he would just casually threaten to break people's arm with the Kimura and seemingly could just do it to anybody at any time that he wanted to do it. The realism involved, because it's a real MMA hold and all of that, I wanted to put it on the list. So my number 7 is Brock Lesnar's Kimura Lock.
My number 6, and probably not giving it the respect it deserves, but I have a feeling it was higher on your list, so I didn't feel bad about pimping it on my list, is the Sharpshooter. Every great 90s match ended in the Sharpshooter. And it's hard to say other moves that came off of it. Like, you know, Sting had a version of it. You had The Rock steal it. The Texas Cloverleaf is an offshoot of it. The Sharpshooter, to me, spun so many different versions of it, it had to be on my list.
More to come in the Sharpshooter discussion, so stand by for that. Very good one, though. My number 6, I will be surprised if you put this on your list, because in actuality, it's a terrible move. There's nothing painful about it. And, well, it's Lex Luger's torture rack. I just think the torture rack is freaking cool looking, and I used to do the torture rack to my little brother on a regular basis.
Wow!
Because he was so much smaller than me. I just think the torture rack is unique and cool, but it doesn't hurt anything. But it always cracked me up how quickly men would tap to the torture rack. Sometimes Lex Luger would throw a person in the torture rack and the bell would start ringing immediately. Like, they didn't even have time because the move was so devastating, they weren't even going to let a person be in it for more than a few seconds. When in actuality, it doesn't hurt at all. But it's super cool looking and it's super unique. So Lex Luger's torture rack is my number six.
Do you want to flip on the fives?
It's up to you.
Because
it's up to you. Do you like leading the way or you want to flip?
I like leading the way because my number five is the torture rack.
Oh, wow. See, I'm shocked. I wouldn't have expected you to do that.
I'm a WCW guy and for all the same reasons. And it was one of those holds. You know, we look through some of these holds, you know, now, and, you know, they were broken out of. But I'm not sure if I could ever remember seeing anybody break out of the torture rack. It just didn't happen.
No.
And for me, that's
once
why
it was set in.
Yeah. And yeah, you're right. It was aesthetically beautiful when he did put it on because it looked painful.
Yep. And I don't think anybody lasted more than 30 seconds in it.
No, absolutely not. What's your
once
number
five?
Once
you were in the rack, it was over. My number five is the Camel Clutch / Accolade. So, Iron Sheik made it famous, of course, the Camel Clutch. Actually, the Camel Clutch, one of the oldest wrestling holds there is. And then Rusev has given it all new, devastating life with his version of it that he called the Accolade. And very few people have ever gotten out of Rusev's Accolade. So, just a devastating move. It looks great. And so that's my number five.
My number four is the figure four leg lock. I know it's probably on your list, and I didn't want to have it too high because it was just seemed like one of those moves that was very painful, and people would reverse it all the time. And when that happened, we all geeked out as kids because, like, oh my God, he flipped it. But how do you not have that on there?
You reverse the pressure.
Yes.
All you have to do with the figure four is roll over. And suddenly, all the pressure is reversed, and they're in excruciating pain.
And we
which
believed.
I'm not sure is true. Yeah.
Let's try it.
I told you a minute ago about my little brother. So I was much bigger. I'm 7 years older than my brother. And so every when we would wrestle as kids, every power move was my move. So I was choke slams and power bombs because he was so much smaller. He had to become a technician and a master of the submission hold. And he could slap on a figure four like nobody's business. And when it's on right, it honestly does hurt. But the flipping over thing does not work. At least it doesn't ever anything I was ever able to pull off. Just a little FYI.
Where are we at?
My number four?
You're number four, Tony.
My number four is Undertaker's Hell's Gate. Hell's Gate is a badass maneuver. It's a real MMA hold. It just looks great. And so it's got a threatening, awesome name. I think the real name of it is like it's like the Go-Go something. It's kind of crazy. It's like the Go-Go Pekka or something like that. It's like this crazy name and for real. But Undertaker's Hell's Gate, I always thought is a devastating, good-looking, realistic hold. So, my number four.
You know, if we have time, I want to get to the Hell's Gate and talk about it. But let's get through this list because that might be one I have to question you on. But my number three.
All right, I like it.
My number three is the classic sleeper hold. You said it earlier. I want to go back to it. But it was never devastating, but it was always the turning point in the match. And it's been in just about every single match since the dawn of time. You still see it pop up. Dolph Ziggler uses it. To me, a move like that, you know, in the days where the leg drop and the atomic drops are all gone and you don't see them anymore, the sleeper hold, the classic sleeper hold, is still around.
Yeah, I love it. Good one. I love it. for my number three, you just took one of mine from earlier in the list. I'm now taking one of yours from earlier in the list. I am shocked that you didn't have this one higher. My number three submission hold of all time is the Lion Tamer / Walls of Jericho, done properly with the knee on the small of the back or on the neck, not the Boston Crab, but the actual original Lion Tamer / Walls of Jericho that he still does every now and then. You'll still see that every now and then, but mostly he just puts people in a Boston Crab these days.
Yeah, that breaks my heart.
Where are we at? Your number two?
My number two is the Tasmician, Tony Colombo. When Taz Sorry. Would lock that in and then wrap his legs around the guy on the ground and just wrench on him, I would geek out every single time. I started watching ECW just because of Taz. And to me, that submission hold looked amazing when he had it in.
Yes. I didn't put it on my list. It had honorable mention. It was considered. I'm glad you used it because it's a good one. My number two, once again, going back a little bit on your list, the figure four leg lock, just because of its iconic nature, no pun intended with the word nature there. But everything that needs to be said about the figure four has already been said. It's my number two. It's one of the most legendary submission holds there is. Now we get to do the number ones. Go ahead.
My number one was actually one of your later submissions, and I feel justified even now that it's on your list putting it here, but the Cobra Million Dollar Dream Clutch. Listen, it was Sergeant Slaughter would slap that on. It was phenomenal. When the Million Dollar Man would do that and then jerk the guy around, and in, you know, moments afterwards, he's shoving money in the guy's mouth and, you know, go buy yourself a cab. To me, you know, there was nothing, in my eyes as a kid, there was nothing more devastating than putting that on. And anytime you tried, you never got it right. I could never figure out how to slap that hold on. And, I just geek out for my number one, the Cobra Clutch / Million Dollar Dream.
I love it. And you're so right about the way that the Million Dollar Man used to just jerk people around once he had it on there for added effect.
Yes.
Great stuff. My number one is the Don't Call It a Sharpshooter Scorpion Deathlock. My number one
submission
hold of all time. Sting's, not the sharpshooter now, Sting's Scorpion Deathlock, which is actually slightly different than a sharpshooter. I don't remember which foot goes first, but whatever it is, one of them wraps the right foot before they wrap the left foot, and it's vice versa on the other one. But Sting's Scorpion Deathlock is my number one, and I'm just having a little fun. Of course, I will accept the sharpshooter in all of its versions as well. But that, I think, is mostly just the kid in me, because Sting was my favorite wrestler, and there was a time when the Scorpion Deathlock was absolutely inescapable, and winning world championships over the likes of Ric Flair and others. Just awesome stuff. One of the most devastating holds ever.
All right, so I have to ask you then, why the Deathlock over the sharpshooter for you?
Probably just because I love Sting.
Okay.
Probably just because I like, just because of my fandom for Sting. And I'm a big Bret Hart guy too. Big fan of Bret Hart, but Sting is probably my favorite wrestler of all time. And so that's why I would say the Scorpion Deathlock before I would say the sharpshooter.
And with the final 3 minutes of this podcast, I do want to talk and touch on the Undertaker's submission hold, and why I didn't put it on was because I never knew the Undertaker to really have a submission hold. It was the power bomb and the mm-hmm. tombstone. So to me, it was kind of hard.
And the choke slam even.
And the choke slam. When I was researching and just looking at other people's lists, it popped up in so many lists, and it just wasn't iconic for me to think of that move with that character.
You know, he made it iconic later in his career, I think. And the fact that it was the Undertaker doing it, it gives it an amount of credibility and mystique. And then to have a name like Hell's Gate, and then to be based in reality, I think all of those reasons are why people like me put it on the list. And I mean, that's definitely why I put it on the list.
Tony, guess what?
We did it.
That's the tens, buddy. Where can people find you?
We did it.
We did it.
Follow me on you follow me on Twitter at TonyColombo971, all O's in Columbo, at TonyColombo971. Also, don't forget the new home of Smack Talk Live is on my radio station's website here in St. Louis, the radio station that I work for, which is 971talk.com. You can go to 971talk.com/Columbo. And you can find all of the different episodes of the Tens. You can find all of our reviews. You can find all of the episodes of Smack Talk Live right there if you're not already listening on our website. So thanks to everybody. Dennis, tell them how they can follow you before we wrap this up.
You can follow me on Twitter at Dennis77Farrell. And Facebook, Tony's not on Facebook, but I am. And that's where we generate a lot of our conversation. But follow me on Facebook. Dennis Farrell, F-A-R-R-E-L-L. Tony, send him home.
Great job today. Great discussion. We'd love to hear your favorite submissions hold. So Facebook him to Dennis, tweet him to Dennis, tweet him to myself. Let us know what you think of our lists. And thanks again for listening to another episode of the Tens on Smack Talk Live. We'll see you next time.